It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Voters in more than 20 Wisconsin cities, counties, and villages will vote on referenda asking lawmakers to address the so-called dark store loophole. Supporters of the referenda say big box stores are using this loophole to avoid paying higher taxes. But opponents argue that these stores are being unfairly targeted. We check in with a WisPolitics reporter to get the latest. Where do you stand when it comes to the so-called dark store loophole? Do you even understand what it is? What questions do you have? Is there a dark store referendum on the ballot where you live? And if so, how do you feel about that? How's your community talking about this? What are you hearing from both sides? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Brianna Riley is a reporter for WisPolitics. Welcome to the Ideas Network, Brianna.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
So what are dark stores?
Well, that is a great question. Actually, this is the very topic that lawmakers this session tried to address in two separate bills. Essentially, what's happening here is big box businesses are making the argument that their own property value should be based off of the value of vacant, adjacent, or not even nearby properties in some cases. And those properties are then referred to as dark stores in some cases, which is where you get the name. But the important part is those dark stores have lower property values and can be taxed less.
So let me get this straight then, just to make sure I understand it. An existing store where they're doing business every day, a big box store, I won't name one, but, you know, whatever, and they think that a vacant store in a nearby community or something is worth the same as one that's actually in business and making money.
That is correct, yes. And there's a lot to dig into here, but a lot of this assessing practice stems from a 2008 case, actually, on this very topic, and I'm sure we'll get to it a little bit later to help clarify the whole process for your listeners.
Okay. How is this issue showing up on the ballot this election?
Well, as you mentioned before, there are over 20 different ballot referenda. So there's voters basically in 20 different counties, cities, and villages across the state. It will have the opportunity to vote on these questions. One thing to note, though, is that these are advisory referendums, so they don't compel lawmakers in a given area that are representative of a certain county to act one way or the other. But advocates of the legislation to address this issue say it's a way to continue to draw attention to the topic and potentially put pressure on those area legislators in the upcoming session.
So what they're doing is these referenda are requesting that the legislature take action. This isn't anything that individual municipalities or local units of government could actually take care of or do on their own then, correct?
Correct. So the wording of most of these questions is it's asking voters, would you support a measure, a bill, two bills in this case, to address the so-called dark store loophole? And then it goes into the definition and the 2008 Walgreens case that we'll get into later. But another thing I want to point out quick is there actually was a referendum question on this dark store issue that has already been approved by voters during the August primary, and that was in West Dallas. And actually 91% of voters there supported it.
Brianna Riley is a reporter for WisPolitics, joining us to talk about how some Wisconsin voters are weighing referenda on the so-called dark store loophole. Where do you stand on this? Is there a dark store referendum on the ballot where you live? How is your community talking about this? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So we've got these advisory referenda on the ballot in various places around the state. What's the history on this in terms of the legislature and how they've actually considered measures on this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So all of this really stems from a 2008 state Supreme Court decision. And that case was called Walgreens versus the City of Madison. Essentially, what that did is change how assessors, uh, assess the taxable value of a business. And this is often, a retail building. Basically, the court decision limited the value of leases in considering property tax assessments. This is an important distinction because before 2008, assessors largely based the taxable value of those retail buildings off of a formula that factored in the property's use and building costs. So it's a narrower focus now that we're looking at. And this past session in 2017, starting in 2017, spurred legislation, bipartisan legislation, two bills in all, in fact, one that would overturn that state Supreme Court decision, and the other that would have banned vacant properties from being valued the same as those occupied retail properties that we were talking about a little bit before.
And what happened to that legislation?
Well, they both died this session. So there was a very dramatic last-ditch effort in the Assembly during a late-night floor session back in February to try to reach a deal on this issue. But, they tried to squeeze the language into an amendment for a Kimberly-Clark incentive package, actually. But ultimately, it didn't come together. And at this point right now, there's a study committee on property tax assessment practices that has been meeting since, I think, the beginning of August, trying to hammer out a legislative fix that all sides can agree to in the upcoming session. But, we'll see where that gets us.
Let's take a call from John in Sturgeon Bay. John, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning. Just a comment that really has to do more with the ballot. I went and early voted with my in-laws, and I helped them read that question that's on the ballot. And I just, the way it's worded on the ballot, it's kind of tricky and a little bit confusing because it's asking if you want to close the loophole. But the way it reads is that if you vote yes, it almost sounds like you're voting in favor of the opposite. So just a word of kind of warning to your listeners, be prepared to that question.
John, thanks for that call. Brianna, how is the ballot measure worded?
So it's different in various, whichever municipality or county that it appears on the ballot can fix the wording, but it's quite long. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, unfortunately, but it is a little bit convoluted, and I can certainly understand where some confusion comes from.
In terms of the legislation, and we've got about a minute left in this segment, it died. What was the big sticking point here, and where was the legislative leadership on this?
Well, that's a great question. I think back in so this officially really that last ditch effort died in February, right? But as early as January, we were hearing from legislative leaders that it just wasn't going to come together. And these bills, we have to remember, received a lot of opposition from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is a big business lobby in the state. And, they've said that this is a way for governments to just further impose taxes on businesses. They say businesses are already covering, much of that tax burden in communities across the state. So on one side, you have the, business lobbies. On the other side, we had local government officials saying that they don't want to shift the burden onto, residents. So really, there just wasn't a compromise that could get through both facts of the legislature.
Brianna Riley of WisPolitics stays with us as we continue to discuss the dark store loophole, and we're taking your calls. Where do you stand on this? What questions do you have? Is there a dark store referendum on the ballot in your community? And how are people talking about it? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Voters in about 20 cities, villages, and counties are being asked to weigh in on the subject of the dark stores loophole. We're talking about what that is and what these local units of government are asking the state legislature to do about it. Where do you stand when it comes to the so-called dark store loophole? Maybe you have some questions about this. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. 1234. Brianna Riley is a reporter for WISP Politics. Let's take another call here. Carlton joins us from Mineral Point today. Carlton, good morning.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for this topic. This is the first I've heard of this, and I can honestly say that, first of all, I'm not terribly surprised that the governments involved in generating this revenue would stoop to such low activities to generate income for their coffers. I think the downside of this is going to be some of these stores in neighborhoods that really need them are going to be taxed, if I understand this situation correctly, are going to be overtaxed to the point of where they're going to be closed, which is going to put a burden on these people in these, let's say, impoverished neighborhoods that may depend on these facilities to get by with their daily life. So I think what you're going to see is maybe one or two of, say, a Walmart or a Walgreens instead of the usual four or five or six or seven or however many there should be per capita. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in the government for stooping to this level, if in fact I understand the question correctly.
Well, Carlton, how do you think a business property should be assessed? Based on what? How do we determine the value of a business property?
Well, let me ask you this question. How would you like your individual home income or your home property to be assessed? I think it should be done across the board fairly. I don't think businesses should be singled out and examined in this way. I mean, look, they're employing individuals from the community. They are paying insurance for these individuals in most cases. They pay an enormous amount in inventory tax every year. It's mind-boggling what's happening in this country as far as generating revenues, and I just think it's a bad idea.
All right, Carlton, thanks for your perspective, Brianna.
No, yeah, I appreciate you weighing in, and just to the question of how this should actually be assessed, I just want to throw in a quick fact here. There are actually three methods that Wisconsin assessors commonly use to, you know, determine market value of a given property. Right? There's a sales approach, a cost approach, and an income approach. And if you'll just let me summarize them quickly, I can kind of, you know, give you a little bit more perspective on this issue. Great, thank you. So the sales approach basically looks at what buyers have paid for other comparable properties. Then that cost approach that I mentioned, it's more so focused on how much it costs to build a property, and then you subtract depreciation. And then the income approach is where it examines, it looks at how much income a property actually generates then. So there are those three approaches that we kind of have already present in Wisconsin. So those are other areas to consider too when looking at this issue.
Well, I guess another way to look at it from a homeowner perspective, is a vacant house worth the same thing as one that's occupied? In terms of how we assess property?
Right, that's certainly a counter-argument. Yeah, an exact counter-argument that's been raised during this issue, too.
Okay. So Carlton kind of sums up what opponents are saying about the campaign against the dark stores loophole. We had voters weighing in. You mentioned in the August primary, West Dallas voters approved the dark store referendum question. What are you watching for as we move forward here, Brianna?
Well, there are a couple of things, actually. So basically, one thing that I think a lot of people were curious about is where Governor Walker and his Democratic challenger, Tony Evers, stand on this issue. And we've seen reporting from other media outlets already that both the governor and his challenger, Tony Evers, are supportive of dark store legislation. We're also continuing to see this ongoing ad campaign from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, the Wisconsin Counties Association, and the Wisconsin Towns Association. They're all supportive of legislation to close this so-called dark store loophole. And, you know, this campaign was first launched in August, so it was really trying to encourage communities to put this issue on the ballot, put this before voters, and have them, weigh in and perhaps compel legislators to act one way or the other. But, you know, when we're looking at the swath of communities where this question is on the ballot, it really ranges. It's all across the state. I mean, we have one in Dane County, for example, in Brown mm-hmm. County, in the northeastern part of the state, Jefferson and Kenosha in southeastern Wisconsin, and Northwestern would be, Washburn County would be an example right. in that area of the state. So it's really going to be an issue that's coming before a lot of voters.
And we'll continue to watch this along with you. Brenna Riley is a reporter for WisPolitics. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
With just 1 week left until the election, Wisconsin Public Radio's Beyond the Ballot initiative is going strong. We're asking people about the issues that are important to them this election season. A recurring theme among some Wisconsinites is Governor Scott Walker's landmark collective bargaining law known as Act 10. Passed in 2011, the law still provokes strong feelings. WPR's Sean Johnson reports.
It's been more than 7 years since Governor Scott Walker first introduced the bill now known as Act 10 that all but eliminated the union rights of most public employees. 7 years since protesters flooded the Capitol. And unions vowed revenge.
When I say union, you say power. Union!
Power!
Union!
Power!
Union!
And it's been more than 6 years since people voted in Wisconsin's recall election, a race Walker won.
Voters really do want leaders who stand up and make the tough decisions.
And yet, over the course of 2018, when Wisconsin Public Radio spoke to voters around the state, Act 10 is still something they remember.
Well, Act 10 certainly hurt people in the public sector, and me included.
One of the questions WPR's Beyond the Ballot project asks everyone is whether there's a time when the government hurt them. That's when Fitchburg City worker Gus Vanderwegen brings up Act 10.
My pay didn't drop, but I had to pay for that extra chunk of retirement and whatever. So that if it was an effective pay drop that we haven't recovered from yet.
That's also when former Beloit city worker Gary Zimmerman brings up Act 10.
As I was a public employee for 36 years, and when Scott Walker pretty much decimated the unions, that hurt quite a bit, hurt me financially, and as far as my rights as a union member, I lost a lot of my rights as a union member, too. That hurt pretty bad.
Heidi Peterson of Chippewa Falls used to belong to a union for her job in local government. Not anymore.
There really wasn't any reason to participate anymore because they just don't have a lot of rights.
These are all stories people volunteer. Some remember their unions vividly. That's kept pressure on Democrats to remember Act 10, too. Walker's Democratic challenger, Tony Evers, says if he's elected, he'll repeal the law piece by piece.
I was against Act 10 right from the beginning. I would support repealing it, but we just can't wait. We have to put those building blocks in place.
For Walker, Act 10 remains his calling card.
The big government union bosses are back. Remember, we took their power away and gave it to the hardworking taxpayers.
Walker talks about efforts to repeal the law about as much as Democrats do. Polling from Marquette University has consistently found the public divided over Act 10, although the divide is largely partisan. It's popular with Republican voters like Waukesha resident Carrie Calton, who's a superintendent at a cemetery. Calton thinks government unions were too powerful before Act 10.
So when a union becomes more powerful than the people of the state, they will coerce politicians to pass laws in their favor, which don't really help an entire people of the state.
For others, unions are something they've only heard about but never experienced, like elementary school teacher Jeff David, who didn't teach in Wisconsin until after Act 10.
I came into education in 2011, so I saw the protests happened in Madison against it, and I read about it, so I guess I never really experienced what kind of opportunities I could have had as a professional teaching pre-Act 10.
Other issues are dominating the 2018 campaign for governor, but the debate over unions and Act 10 is still simmering. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can hear more stories as part of our election series, Beyond the Ballot, here on The Morning Show and across the Ideas Network. You can also share your story at WPR.org/ballot. And tune in Tuesday night, November 6th, starting at 7 o'clock, for live election coverage from NPR and WPR. We'll be here throughout the night with live updates of election returns and analysis of national and state races. You can also follow the results at WisconsinVote.org. That's WisconsinVote.org. Up next, we talk about the infamous radio drama involving a Martian attack. The War of the Worlds ignited hysteria and started a broader conversation about discerning fact from fiction. Join us for that discussion after the news. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.